In today's Mishnah, we're in the second and third Mishnah, in the fifth Perek Masechta Bava Batra, the Mishnah begins. So to appreciate this Mishnah, we have to understand in the times of Mishnah, there were two purposes of owning or having a chamor, having a donkey. One was for riding, and also the second is to actually to transport goods. So the Mishnah's discussion here is, if someone sells a chamor, well, everyone agrees that the various riding equipment, for example, the reins, the saddle, that would be part of the sale, because that's implied as part of the sale of a chamor. What is debated is the instruments, the equipment that was used to carry the cargo. So the Mishnah says, according to the first opinion, that wouldn't be part of the sale. And Mepharshim explained that, according to this first opinion, this is even if the donkey was wearing this extra equipment at the time of the sale, it would not be included unless it was explicitly stated that I want to buy the equipment for transporting cargo as well. Nachum Hamadi says otherwise. He says, no, Macharat Kelav, these would also be part of the sale. The reason for the debate is, as the Gemara explains, is that what is the stam chamor? What is the assumed base use for a donkey? Was it for riding or was it for transporting cargo? According to the Tanakhama, the stam status, the assumed status of a donkey was that it was used for riding. Consequently, unless explicitly stated any other equipment required for, say, carrying cargo, well, that wouldn't be part of the sale. According to Nachum Abadi, you know, the stam status was it was used for transporting goods. So therefore, this equipment that is necessary for transporting goods would be considered part of the sale as well. Rabbi Huda says, "Pamim mochurim, pamim enim mochurim." Well, according to Rabbi Huda says, "Well, it depends. We have to appreciate by way of context." Ketzad, how so? Hayach chamor lefanav. If the donkey was standing there, v'keilav alav, and it has all the equipment on it, the amar lo, he says, "Machor li chamorach ze." I'd like to purchase this donkey. Then hare kelav mechurim, because the language is very direct. I want to purchase this donkey. The understanding is this donkey with all its equipment. If he says chamorach hu, in other words, he's saying, if this is your donkey, I'd like to purchase it. Then we say ein kelav mechurim. Then in that situation, because he's used this more indirect terminology, he's saying, if this is your donkey, I'd like to purchase the donkey, then we understand that it's specifically the donkey that is of interest, and ein kelav mechurim, and the equipment is not included in the sale. Let's now learn Mishnah Gimel. Mishnah says, ha-mocher ta chamor, machar ta sayach, machar ta par lo machar ta bana. So here we're referring to the sale of both a female donkey that is feeding, and a para, a cow that is also feeding. So the Mishnah says, if someone says, I'd like to buy a chamor that is feeding, then the understanding is that he wishes to purchase not only the donkey, but also the young donkey as well. The reason for that is because people do not buy donkeys for their milk. There's no such thing as a dairy donkey. So consequently, the fact he's asked for a feeding donkey, it's understood that he wishes to buy this donkey along with its young as well. However, macharata para, if he's asking to purchase a cow that is producing milk, then it's not implied in the sale la machar to bana that the calf wouldn't come along with the sale. And that is because, again, people do purchase dairy cows, and therefore the understanding here is that it can be interpreted as being that I just simply want to purchase this cow that is producing milk, and that's it. Next case, machar ashba, if someone sells a dung heap, machar zivla. The dung heap simply refers to the location itself. But Mishnah says not only is location itself, it's either a raised surface of 3 tefachim, as Bartender explains, or it's a pit 3 tefachim deep, or even more. So it's a collection point. So not only is a collection point sold, but also any dung that is contained in it. Similarly, machar bor, if someone sold a water hole, and it was a hole used for containing water, Mishnah says, Machar mei mav, the water is sold as well. The Gemara says it's actually this opinion expressed in the Mishnah is a dat yachid, is a singular opinion. However, the Chachamim, cited in the Braita, disagree, and if someone sold simply this water hole, it would not include the water as well. Let's continue. Machar kaverd, if someone sold a beehive. Machar dvorim, also the bees would be sold as part of the sale because they are considered the ikar, the main point of this beehive, is to have these bees that are producing honey as well. Similarly, machar shovach, if someone sold a dove coat, it would include the yonim, the doves as well. Again, the main purpose of this dove coat is for the doves and what they're producing, as we'll see in a moment. Halokeach peirot shovach, if someone wants to purchase the fruit, meaning the offspring of a shovach, mechavero, Mishnah says, mafriach brecha rishona. Now, the term brecha, as Kati explains, means is given to the first pair of offspring, or a pair of offspring. So Mishnah says that this brecha rishona means you have to leave the first pair. Why? Because if the young are immediately sold off, then the concern it's going to compromise the entire dovecote itself. and then the doves will simply fly away. Therefore, it's important to leave the first young there in order that the dovecote is sustainable, and therefore the parents will be there on account of the children or the young that are born, and then the purchaser can take any future young. Peirot kaveret, similarly, if someone wants to take the peirot, being the offspring of a beehive, Mishnah says, notel shlosha nichilim o mesares. The lokeach, the purchaser, takes the first three swarms, or first three nichilim, it says, it refers to the peirot here, and then umesares. And after that, the one explanation, the explanation we just give now for simplicity, is that of the Bartanura, is he would take one and then leave one, take one and leave one. And that's, again, it's in order to ensure the longevity or the sustainability of this kaveret, because if he takes all the offspring, again, there won't be much of this beehive left. There are other explanations, I'll let you see, Kati, for more details. Chalot dvash, if someone purchases the honeycomb from a beehive, Mishnah says, maniach, he has to leave shtei chalot, he has to leave two honeycombs within this beehive. Why is that important? That is because we need at least two to ensure that the bees can survive the winter months. Again, because he's not purchasing the beehive itself, he's just purchasing the honeycomb, he can't take it all, otherwise it would again compromise the entire honeycomb, the beehive. Zeitim lakutz, if he's purchasing wood from a olive tree. In other words, he's not purchasing the tree's there, he's buying the rights to cut the wood off this tree. And once again, in order not to compromise the entire tree, in order that the tree can regrow branches, Mishnah says, maniach shtei grofiyot. He has to leave two branches. In other words, he can cut it all, except leave two branches in order that the tree can regrow. Those are the Mishnah today.